Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, God, let's try this again, Jeffrey. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Driving in, hearing the news about, just awful news about Marshawn Nealand. Cowboys' second-round pick a year ago, defensive end. He scored a touchdown Monday.
On the punt block.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And now dead at 24. There's no cause of death, and so we do not know what happened. But whatever happened, it is a tragedy nonetheless. Obviously, you know, mostly for his family and then his friends, but also the Cowboys organization. And then just from a football perspective, and I know that, of course, is secondary, but it's also a hell of a blow there. You know, you know, a pass rushing defensive end, like he was part of the future for the Cowboys. And so on every single, and obviously the human tragedy is the most significant, but we have today, like it man, then you have the news. Then you have the news from Eric Spoelstra. See this, Jeffrey?
A house fire?
Yeah. So his they were playing Denver. Their charter landed at 5/11 back in Miami. His house that he bought in 2023, massive house, of course, in Coral Gables. Fire called in at 4:36 a.m. Massive fire, 20 departments, whatever, reporting. It feels like the fire was contained on his property, but it wasn't contained within the property. So there's images of him head in hands walking on his property. So I hope you all are having a better day. I mean, man, that is something. But of course, particularly for the Cowboys and that organization and most of all that family, really rough stuff. Today on the radio show, let's see. Trivia feels trivial, but we got trivia today. It's Thursday, right, Jeffrey? I wasn't here last Thursday. I missed last Thursday. Oh, I know. I had a Daily Memphian conflict. And so I couldn't be here Thursday, but I gather you prevailed.
I did. It was the classic. I am glad that the contestant picked the questions he did, because it would have been just, if he would have just picked
the other
question. The other
questions could have gone the other way. Yeah. It's gracious of you to say that. You smashed another.
Well, it's important to be honest with the audience.
And anyway, we'll do that in the second. Chris Harrington will join us straight up 10 o'clock. He's got a piece on the Grizzlies, lost to the Rockets last night up at the Daily Memphian. He will join us, and we'll talk to Chris straight up 10 o'clock. And then we'll play trivia. Do we have a fabulous prize?
We do indeed, Jeff. We have two pairs of tickets to go see Stavros Halkias tonight at Graceland Live. Stavi tonight at Graceland Live. Two sets of two tickets each.
Well, there you go. two sets.
So four total tickets. Okay. But I want to be clear. I can't promise. I know two are together.
They may not be together.
I don't know if all four are together.
I see.
But we do have two sets.
Of two. So there we go. We'll do that in the second hour. The first hour, it is just us. And we do have a lot to talk about. I hate to say this. Not a lot of it's good.
It's not fun right now.
So let's pause for a moment, okay? What's good?
Tiger football's got an opportunity to have a massive win on Friday night, and they have the entire path in front of them of being a playoff team, and it's not smoke. It's legit.
I'm looking high and low, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking high and low. And you could say Cedric Howard's good.
Well, that was going to be my number two.
You could say Cedric Howard's good. But clearly Memphis football, and Ed Scott was on with Jason yesterday. I appreciate Ed Scott popping on the station. And it was interesting because he doesn't do appearances all the time, right? He picks and chooses. And it feels like to me that he picked this week because, I mean, let's be honest, at some point in the interview, he was utterly unvarnished. He said, when I got here, there were times that I said there were moments that I would ask the city of Memphis to stand up. And this is that time. He said, people complain about the weak schedule. People complain about meaningless games. People complain about this, that, whatever. He said, if people don't show up in great number Friday, like opportunity to make the playoff, playing a clearly quality competition, something even bordering on a rivalry. Like if this ain't it, don't come back and tell me the reasons why, you know, the failings. Like it's right there. And I thought he actually had a pretty damn good point. I also want to commend John Stacey, who we've had on before. He's the fellow who brings the veterans to the games. I saw he has worked at it so hard this week that he's bringing 300. I think it's a new high. 300 veterans to the game Friday night. So good for John Stacey. And Ed Scott is trying to rally the city behind the Memphis Tigers, and I commend him for doing that. I do wonder if some of it is out of concern for what the crowd could look like, because, again, you got the Grizzlies playing Friday, you got high school football Friday, it might rain Friday.
Yep.
And so
I'm heading to Nashville tonight, or after the show, basically.
And you are heading to Nashville.
So we moved the game from Friday night.
Because of worries about weather Friday.
Correct. Now, granted, it's in Nashville,
but still. Trying to get ahead of it.
Right.
So the game tonight.
Correct.
Your game is tonight. So I can see the kind of programming being a little bit tricky for the Memphis State, but I think you're right. The thing in the sea of misery, the thing that we can say is good is Memphis Tiger football, and save us Memphis. Like, damn it, don't lose Friday. We make it stop. Enough. The other thing, by the way, that is good, and I won't go on about it, but I did write a column about it today. I wrote a column about, and I'll be honest, I feel a little abashed. Like the John Morant thing's happening, the Grizzlies are happening, the city is going through what the city is going through, and I'm writing about cross country running. But I have to say, it was super fun. The state cross country championships.
Yep.
Are in Memphis for the first time since the 60s.
Yeah.
At Shelby Farms, and they're today and tomorrow, and I wrote about it partly because like that's cool too. Like and it was interesting. I went out there yesterday, and the people setting up the course who were from Nashville, they said, you know what, people around the state, if they were unhappy about coming here. No one's shy about telling you how unhappy they are, right? He said, and we haven't heard a word. Like, Shelby Farms is beautiful. It's a great track. It's a great course. People actually like the idea of going to different parts of the state if it rotates, right?
Sure.
If you know you're going to get yours at home, but other times you're going to go whatever. And then the other thing that's happened is that, and this is sort of what I wrote about, cross country has become this great, particularly for elementary and middle school kids, it has become this unbelievable boom sport in the city. I was talking to Rachel Randall, who's the coach of the Houston High team, and she also works at Fleet Feet. She said they can't keep running shoes for kids in stock. And so it's because of Nick Dwyer, who is the coach at Christian Brothers, and he has started this youth organization in town to just recruit, to get people running in middle and elementary school all across the city. So it used to be this, let's be honest, he called it, he said, everyone used to look like me. He's white, country club sport. He said, now it's in every zip code. It's all over the city. And my own personal bias is, I just think cross country is an unbelievably great sport. It's not glamorous. One of the reasons why it's great. But think about it. Think about it. First of all, it's co-ed, like in the sense that a lot of times the boys and girls will train together, which is kind of cool, honestly, right? Secondly, kids tend to be very good students. Nick Dwyer said even kids who join the cross-country team who aren't good students become good students because they don't want to be left behind. It is the opposite of Instagram, Insta satisfaction, whatever. It requires day after day after day after day after day of putting in the miles. But you're putting in the miles with your friends. You're running and you're talking as you're running through the woods and over trails. You're not on your phones. It's like that part of it is just unbelievable. And fundamentally, it teaches you to do something hard. Like it teaches you to do something. Running is, I think we can agree on this, Jeffrey. Running is not fun.
No.
It hurts.
I always consider it as punishment. Because my whole life, the only time I had to run was when I was getting punished.
Well, that's so some people said. I heard from someone who said, who's a cross country and a cross country team somewhere else, and said they used to have T-shirts that said, "Our sport is your sport's punishment."
Yep.
Right. But then here's the thing: you go out to Shelby Farms for these middle school and elementary school races. There's literally 1,100 kids.
Yep.
And their families. And, you know, their grandparents, and they're all trying to get around the course to see the five places where you can watch the kids go whooshing by. It's total bedlam, but it's superbly well organized out there. It is really like it's unbelievably joyous. And so, again, I think about this all the time. You can sit here and complain about everything that's going wrong, and we're about to do that, but you could also look at people like Nick Dwyer who think about how can I build something? How can I, you know, because he started from saying, listen, when I was growing up, there was the Parks Commission and they used to have sport, you know, they used to have teams and all kinds of sports and you could do it for practically free, right, in Memphis. Now everything is elite team this, travel team that, whatever else, costs so
We've got private equity involved.
Just to do youth sports. Yeah, private equity is involved. Just to do the youth sports has become incredibly expensive. That's the other thing about running. You know what you need? Shoes. That's it. You need shoes.
And a great work ethic.
And so, and the ability to suffer. And so that's why he started doing this. And so there's something else that I can applaud, something else that's good. You can read my piece about that over at the Daily Memphian. It was fun to do because it's such a great community. But beyond that, everything's terrible. Grizzlies lost last night, 124-109. And listen, there were things that there were some positives, Jeffrey. The positives were Cam Spencer can shoot, right? 5 of 9 from three.
Yeah.
He can shoot 19 points in 19 minutes. Jock Landale can. Jock Landale can shoot. I don't know when this happened.
Maybe a dunk, but yeah, he can shoot.
But he cannot finish at the rim, but he can shoot. So that's good. And they lost to a team they were supposed to lose to. Like whatever. They lost to a very, very good team. They are under-resourced. They obviously have massive problems with their roster right now. They got problems with their roster when it's at full strength, and it's obviously not at full strength. There is nothing particularly cataclysmic. It wasn't fun, but there's nothing particularly cataclysmic about losing to the Houston Rockets. Lots of teams will, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want to go one further, after the game, Ja sounded normal. Like, Ja talked about just normal stuff that made a lot of sense. Asked about the offense. It's all of us. I've got to do my job first, and that's to put pressure on the defense, and then my teammates do the rest, and then from there they come back to me to make the right decision. It starts with me. I'm reading Chris Harrington's piece here. How to react to the loss? Just turn the page. Come in tomorrow, have a good day of practice, watch the film, do all the things we need to correct. Guys speak their mind, coaches speak their mind, and be ready to go for the next game. So that is like relative to the last couple interview sessions, totally logical. It asked about Jaren's problems, which we'll get to. Ja was fine on that too. It's pretty much you got to give him space, and we play in space. We don't have no space. We're not making enough shots, so guys are able to pack the paint, shift a lot. We got to make more shots and open up the floor for him. All that sounded just like a normal loss. And so that my positives here are that it was just a normal loss.
Yeah, we didn't have to deal with the sky
is falling. Loss,
yeah.
by 15 points when you were
9 point dogs or something.
When you were
like
9 point dogs, Houston came in, beat you, covered, and it was really not competitive.
There were moments where you could kind of talk yourself
they got it down
into,
to four yeah, but, at one point.
And but it never felt
it,
like.
It never felt like you never. And so, but here's the larger problem.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It just feels right now about as grim as it has ever felt for the Grizzlies in 25 years. There have been worse before. You know, there have been really bad stretches before. They opened the season once, losing 9 or 14 or something like that in a row. Like, I'm not saying there haven't been. But those are teams that's supposed to be totally rebuilding, you know, down to the studs kind of teams, like, that you expect to be bad. This team is bad. They can't make shots. But worse than that, it doesn't. There's no fire. They go down early every single game.
It's the same script. I think that's what's frustrating. It's the same script.
Every single game, they're losing at the start. If you had any shred of optimism, if you could get yourself to go down there and maybe tonight, and then within the first 5 minutes, it is sucked out of you. The players don't seem to like the coach, and it's not just Ja. Like, are they really buying into this? It doesn't feel like they're playing with fire at all, right? The fans don't, I mean, the players don't seem to like the coach. The fans certainly don't like the coach. Half of the fans are out on some of the fans don't really like this team, like right now. Like, Zach Kleiman said he wants dogs, but who amongst them are dogs, right?
Yep.
He said, well, we need dogs. And you got a team that is playing with no fire, no joy, no spark.
It doesn't even feel like they have cohesion.
No cohesion. So, and then there's just like, okay, well, we got the job problem, which we've all been focused on, which is an enormous problem. You need him being your star and being in a good mood. As we said, his mood sets a tone. And he was better last night, so maybe that's progress. But then you got the Jaren problem. And we don't focus on as much because it's not as loud. One shot in the first half. One. Max player. Whatever max player means. How much is it? 50 million? What are they giving him?
I thought he was in like the 40 range.
New contract for Jaren. One field goal attempt in the first half. Six for the game.
49 million this year, 50 next year, 52 the next, with a player option at 53 and 29-30.
9 points, 2 of 6, 6 shots. And so you got the job problem and you got the chair problem. Your two best players are both problems right now.
They're not solutions.
And so I guess I want to get to this. Which is what to do. Like if you were Robert Pera, okay, what would you do? Because it feels like, okay, here are the options. Here's some things you could do. Okay. You could say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to trade Ja. We're going to put out the edict to trade Ja. Another thing you could do. It's just not working. We're going to fire Isla. We're just going to, we got to make a change. It's not working. We're going to fire Isla. The next thing they could do? They're going to fire Zach Kleiman. He built this mess. Like, this is his, right? He's the one who decided to, whatever, like Dylan Brooks went out the door and Desmond Bain went out the door. And before him, you know, we know that.
Kyle Anderson went out the door. D'Anthony Melton went out the door.
Whatever. Like, a lot of dogs went out the door. Not a lot of dogs coming back in. I'm going to fire Zach. I mean, Zach is the one who said, you know what, we're gonna build around Jaren, and Jaren's got one shot, and hire this coach, and that combination has gotten Jaren to one. So all those, I think, like, beyond that, everything else is window dressing, right? So those are the three big things you could do.
Yep.
Okay? Let's go to the trade Ja option first.
Okay.
Would you?
No.
Why not?
Number one, I've not seen a deal yet that makes sense.
Well, there is no deal that makes sense.
So I still contend the best path for everyone is making it work with him.
Well, I think it's pretty clear, like, this point is that because the value is so low, like, we've seen various stories around, you know, whatever. I talked to 5 GMs or 5 NBA people. They have no interest. I guess another story said that maybe, and this might have been in The Athletic, I think it was this maybe Sam Vecenie story, said that Sacramento and Minnesota are monitoring.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was Sam or Sam Amick also wrote about it yesterday.
Oh, no, it was Sam Amick. It was Sam Amick.
Yeah.
Vecenie's. Yeah, it was Amick. He said that Sacramento and Minnesota are monitoring. Here's the truth. I the value is so low right now. The timing is so wrong right now that I think even if you are inclined to trade him, and as I've said, if you trade him for Beads, you stink. And you could stink for 3 years, you know, or 10 years.
I would say that maybe longer, years. Yeah.
So, but at the very least, you let him play 20 games and look good again, right? Like, you let Zach Edey come back and let some players start hitting some shots, and maybe it will remind people that Ja is actually good. And then you could get more value for him. I do not trade Ja Morant now unless he demands a trade. Do we agree?
Agreed.
You just do not. You do not trade him now unless he demands a trade. And so that is not a thing that can be done. We've decided or should be done. Okay. The next one is fire Isla. Would you, if you were Robert Pera, pick up the phone and call Zach Kleiman and say, listen, this is just not working. We're firing Isla today.
Not yet.
I agree. It looks wildly erratic and premature and out of control. If in 20 games, 30 games, if when he gets his players back, it still looks like this. Like he is the coach and he is the guy who's, among other things, supposed to unlock Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jaren has one shot in the first half. Like, they continually get off to hideous starts. Isn't that something that you would, like, what we can say, that okay, they got to go deep in their rotation, they don't have a backup point guard, whatever else. This isn't about that. This is the first 5 minutes of every game.
No, it's the same. We talked about it. It's the same script. They fall behind, and then they can't get back into it.
And then yesterday he talked about why he didn't want to start Cedric Howard, and that's fine. We've talked about that. I don't think it's some panacea to start Cedric Howard, but let's be honest. They stink at the beginning of every single game, so what the hell? Now, Cedric Howard didn't shoot well last night. It was a 2-of-10 night, but he still had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, you know, active. So you could try it. You could also try not yanking Jaren within the 4 minutes, you know, like you could, like that. That's, it's not unlocking Jaren, and it's not leading to good results from a team perspective. So there are lots of things I think I think if you aren't wondering about whether Isolo has the ability to get the most out of this team, you're blind. Like, how can you not wonder whether he has that ability? Whatever it is, whether it's strategic, whether it's ability to connect, he clearly has not done it so far. Again, there's no shame in losing. When you've got this roster, there's no shame in losing to Houston. But I do think there's shame in coming out flat every single game and in looking like a team that plays with no fire.
Yeah, so I'm trying to look at, so right now, with them being 4-6, I think the only game that they lost as a favorite was Miami. So basically they've kind of done what the expectation
is. They don't look like they're supposed to.
No, I agree, but how much of that is also the fact that they're just shooting the basketball so horrifically?
I think that's a huge problem. So, but for example, Houston played 8 guys last night.
Yep.
Pretty good team, right?
Yep.
Pretty good team. Houston played basically 8 guys. Isolo, there are
10 guys.
10 guys with 15 or more minutes.
Yeah.
10 players with 15 or more minutes. It felt like, honestly, Ja is not only getting more minutes, and he would have had even more minutes if the game hadn't been out of hand at the end, honestly. So I don't think you can complain about Ja's minutes at all. And he played a longer stint between over the first and second quarter. And again, pragmatism, flexibility, all those things. But you had 1, 2, 3, 4. You had 4 Rockets with more minutes than Ja and 5 Rockets with more minutes than Jaren.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be working. But I'm with you. I don't think you can fire Tomas Isolo today. Come on, man. You, like, whatever. What do we give him 20 games, you know? Give him Zach Edey back.
I was going to say, to me, it's more of, okay, once they start to get some reinforcements. Yeah.
See what it looks like when you know what it's supposed to look like. Literally, I mean, he's sort of the fulcrum of it all. Like Zach Edey, maybe not. Maybe Zach Edey will come back and it won't look any different.
Right.
And so then there's the other one. There's the fire Zach Kleiman. You want to fire Zach Kleiman?
I mean, at this point, the logic would be, okay, he is responsible for the team on the floor. Okay.
Logic would be, look at the players who've gone out, the players that he's decided to invest in. KCP is exactly what Orlando said he was. He's not like, it wasn't some aberrational year in Orlando.
No.
He's a totally mediocre player now, right? Can't hit a shot. Didn't last year either. Invested in Jaren, picked this head coach, getting nothing out of Jaren, you know. I don't really believe in this, though, by the way. I'm saying this, but I don't believe in it. I do believe it's possible he made a bad choice as a head coach. I do believe, I'm open to that possibility, that he made a very bad, I don't think the jury's in, but I think it's possible he made a very bad pick as a head coach.
I think also the original sin was when he made the decision of firing Taylor's entire staff but keeping Taylor, that was alarming to me.
I think that's like funny. Like, there's very clearly, this is all,
Either he's your coach or he's not. You know what I mean? Like, by doing if you really think like that, you should have just fired him.
Someone on social media analogized this, and again, I think this is premature, to the Titans.
Yeah, I saw that one going around.
They had a guy, Vrabel.
Yep.
They get rid of Vrabel, and then they totally botched the solid guy, and then they totally botched the replacement. I'm not ready to say that. But here's my point. I don't think you can trade Jai yet, and I'm not in favor. I hope it works out. Like, I don't believe. I was trying to think. For all the ups and downs of Jai, I got myself thinking, wouldn't it be nice if he actually could get back to a place where you're winning a playoff series with Ja Morant? Like, wouldn't that be – like, we are the second chance city, you know?
Totally agree.
So normally the guys that we took were people who needed second chances other places and then came here, you know, and then it changed. What happens if it just – the bad stuff happens here and the good stuff happens here? It's just another version of the stories that we went through with Z-Bo and, you know, I'd get to Tony Allen, but, well, that's another sensitive topic. But you can't trade Ja, you can't fire Isolo, and you can't fire Kleiman. Like, none of those things. Here's where we are. There is nothing to be done other than hope they play better against Dallas. That's a possible win opportunity.
Sure.
And because Oklahoma City doesn't feel like one, hope they play better against Dallas. Let time pass. Let your players get back. Take a deep breath. And onward we go. Start Cedric Howard. You know, like, but there's nothing macro to be done.
Yeah, I can't remember if I said this to you, but I was talking about it on the afternoon show. Doesn't this kind of rhyme with when Ja got his 25-game suspension? Even though everyone knew that's a significant suspension, you'd kind of talked yourself into, okay, they've still been decent without him, they can survive, and then when he comes back, go full throttle. Coming into the season, when we started to see the injuries mounting up and we looked at the schedule, we're like, this could be a tough start. And it's one of those things where you can intellectually go, it's a tough start, but then when you actually watch it, it just feels worse.
Yeah, I think the truth of the matter is, though, there is a tough start. The difference here is it is... You can lose playing your ass off. You know, you can lose, man, we gave it their all. We fought hammer and tong. We whatever else. We're just undermanned, right?
Yep.
We're getting the best out of this. We're just falling short. And I think that feels very different than what we're seeing now.
I guess the only question I have is how much of the way we feel about the way they're playing is just the fact that they're shooting
not making
horrifically.
A freaking shot. They shot 38% from the field. A lot of it is. Like, there are so many opportunities in a game. When I was there the other night, ball swings to Jalen Wells. You know, they're down two, whatever else. He hits that three. All of a sudden, everything, it uplifts everybody. It uplifts the fans. It uplifts the players. They're like, ah, the ball moves, pops faster. Like, you're exactly right. Shot going in. Well, it gets back to this, though. Shots don't go in from Ja. You know why? Because he can't shoot. He never has been able to shoot, and it's as bad as ever. Like, the guy was 1 of 7 from, and do you think shots are going to start going in? I don't think they're going to start going in. KCP couldn't shoot last year. He's not shooting this year. Jalen Wells is definitely an aberration. But, like, who's supposed to be hitting shots here besides Cam Spencer and Jock Landale?
Yeah, but, like, I don't think, like, Jalen is...
It's just Jalen Wells.
And on top of that, like, okay, Ja is not a great shooter, but Ja's not like a 12% shooter from three.
Okay. I told you. Listen, we tried to find the good stuff. We found the good stuff at the beginning. Memphis football, state cross-country championships. There's good stuff. It's downtown dining week,
mm-hmm.
that too. Whatever. But we have some... I mean, we had the bad news about Tony Allen to talk about. And then Penny Hardaway had a press conference yesterday. And I hate to say this, Jeffrey.
Wasn't exactly uplifting.
It wasn't exactly uplifting. We'll take a break, talk about that, and more. Chris Harrington's going to join the show at 10 o'clock. There, you can feel good about that. And then we're going to give away prizes on trivia. Feel good about that, too. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. The good news just rolls on as we talk Memphis Tiger basketball. Oh, we did have a suggestion from our listeners, Jeffrey. More good things, because we've been looking for good things.
Absolutely.
Right, more good things.
Bring it on.
Women's soccer program at the University of Memphis. They play tonight. Semifinals of the conference tournament on ESPN Plus.
Indeed, they will be taking on UTSA tonight.
There you go. And
6 p.m.
start.
Number
3 in the country. Really, again, extraordinary. Don't look around and say, ah, oh, this is terrible. I don't know why. Change it. Change it. Make it happen for yourself. Brooks, what Brooks does every single day. Unbelievable.
His job got harder.
What?
His job got harder.
His job got harder.
Yeah. You know, like the way that the sport has gone, like, you know, putting together a roster for him has got to be harder than ever.
Unbelievable. And yet he just keeps doing it. Can you imagine a women's soccer program in a hellhole?
Tough.
I don't really think it's a hellhole. But like, if you're outside of Memphis and you hear the way people talk about Memphis and you're like, oh no, and you're going to send your daughter. Yes, absolutely. Send them here from everywhere. Send them here from Canada. Send them here from Japan. They come here. They come from all over. And you know what they do when they get here? They flourish.
Even
they
got one from,
it.
We got a
they
local
flourish.
Girl.
Flourish. They contribute. They have a great time. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And a model for us all. Okay, now back to the bad news. First of all, the Tony Allen stuff. Picked up in Arkansas. And with a friend, I'm going to guess, friend. And a legal lane change. I have to say, when I saw a legal lane change, I've been pulled over in Arkansas multiple times.
Yeah.
Right? And there was the one time we were pulled over.
I think once you were pulled over on the air, driving to Tulsa.
It was back and forth to Tulsa. And honestly, we were pulled over and I think the photographers who were coming behind us were then pulled over. And they had this weird thing where they wanted us to come sit in their car where the German Shepherd was behind us. It never, unlike anything I'd ever seen before, it was, and people have speculated, well, maybe they wanted to subject you to the weed-smoking dog or something. I really don't know. I mean, if you're in law enforcement, you think I'm an idiot right now, and you're probably right. So I plead. I don't know what was happening there. It was weird. Illegal lane change, Jeffrey. Maybe I'm first team all defense for Tony Allen here. Illegal lane change, and then they smelled weed. And then they found weed on the person of Tony Allen. And then they also found a white substance. His friend claimed it to be his, which was said to be allegedly cocaine. So it's been a big year for Tony. Number retired, Sports Hall of Fame, Tennessee Hall of Fame. Seems to be settling in happily here in Memphis. And when the news broke, I'm like, oh, man, really? Like, really? Just all the bad stuff. Now, can I be completely candid with you, Jeffrey?
Yes, you may.
I don't care if people smoke weed. It feels like everybody in the world smokes weed. I do not care at all. Now, do I think it's wise to be smoking weed as you barrel across Arkansas in the car?
No.
The cocaine is more problematic, right?
Yes.
I can't say everybody in the world does cocaine. I don't care if people do cocaine. That seems like a bad idea. The weed stuff, like literally, it feels like everyone in the world smokes weed. I don't care about smoking weed. But the cocaine stuff, even that was at the very least poor judgment to be billowing smoke, whatever, as you're barreling across Arkansas. Honestly, you're driving while impaired, among other things, right?
Yep.
You know? So, but then the cocaine, I just feel bad. I feel bad. That's all. The story makes me feel bad. And I'll be honest, hand up, I hope he gets out of it somehow. Yeah. But he's obviously still on probation for his legal troubles of the false medical claims. Is that what they were?
Yeah, the fraud with the medical insurance.
I just want him to get out of it. I'm in the tank for Tony. I'd admit it. I just am. I'm in the tank. I'm in the tank for Tony.
Yeah, I mean, it was just another one of those ones when you saw the breaking news alert. I'm just like, oh, God.
Hope he has a good lawyer. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
I just hope he has a good lawyer. And I hope the cocaine was his friends and Tony didn't even know it was there.
Yes.
Can I go with that?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell myself that. The cocaine was his friends. He didn't even know it was there. Onward we plow, Jeffrey. Penny Hardaway, before the first game of the season, Penny Hardaway had a presser yesterday, okay? And one thing we know about Penny is he tends to be exuberantly enthusiastic and optimistic, right?
Like, in general, yes.
Like last, a month or two ago, said it was his second most talented team, right?
Yep.
Whenever anyone is struggling with getting eligible, he always thinks they're going to be a get eligible. Right?
Yes.
Right? And we see there is a bent towards optimism in Penny Hardaway. And so I expected to hear from Penny that all is right with the world. He knows basketball, and he's gotten it all figured out. And these first two exhibition games were really helpful because they helped him figure it out, and they're locked and loaded, ready for Saturday's opener. Instead, he's got quote-unquote concerns about what's going on. Man, yeah, with the 15 new guys and the way we played in those exhibitions, we haven't competed at a high level outside of the first 10 minutes of the game against Arkansas. So there are some concerns about what's going on with this new group. The problem right now is that the guys that are giving me the energy that I want don't have the amount of talent that the other guys have that aren't. And we got to get that to where everybody's exerting the same amount of energy at a very high level every possession. This is from Parthapadhyay's story in the Daily Memphian. My inclination is to blame Tomas Isola.
That's smart. Seems reasonable.
What do you think? Don't you think? I mean, he is European after all.
Yes, of course.
I think here's the problem. The high profile, the talented guys, Jeffrey, aren't the ones who are busting their asses. He's got to get the talented guys to bust their asses. He doesn't know who the starting lineup is what he says. And if that's not bad enough, Quante Berry, he's the transfer from Temple, he said that the team had a team meeting Tuesday night at the Lori Walton Family Basketball Center to nip everything in the bud. Nip everything in the bud. Things are, Jeffrey, what needs to be nipped? What needs to be nipped? What are we nipping?
Listen, I guess we should hold and reserve judgment until we see Saturday. This was a first for me. The players only meeting before game one, that was a first.
I mean, the bud is barely budded and we're nipping it already.
Vibes aren't great.
I mean, I know yesterday when I told you that I not only had abandoned the preseason pledge, but I have officially declared my alarm because it seems to be 15 players, a chaotic rotation, random players thrown in from wherever that Penny didn't have a great grasp of and had not played well in those two games. I was wondering whether I was being a little doomsaying, and I hope I am. But then it doesn't help when the head coach says there are, admits there are challenges. How? What are we to do with this information?
I think we need to wait till Saturday.
I think that's true.
Because,
I mean, listen, if we're waiting to fire Isolo and we're waiting to fire Kleiman and we're waiting to trade Ja, we can certainly wait for one game for the Memphis Tiger basketball team.
I do think it doesn't help that they're basically going to be like the last team to play their first game.
Who do you think he means when he says that he's not getting the same energy from the talented guys? Is that like in bright lights, Aaron Bradshaw?
Maybe, because my first thought was like, I don't think it's Doug.
Doesn't feel like it would be Doug.
So the bigs?
But who's got the most talent? It's those two, like the most ballyhooed were Bradshaw and McDaniel.
I think it's probably Bradshaw. Vibe. Yesterday was like an all-time bad vibes day.
It was just such a bad vibes day. I mean, I hate to say this. Everywhere you look, and that's why we go to Memphis football. That's why we keep coming. Save us, Memphis football, right? Memphis football is in a position to save us. Carry the torch through the playoffs. Listen, okay, I'll give you the optimism of all three scenarios. Here you go. Ready? Here's the glass half full, all three scenarios. This is grim right now for the Grizzlies, but here's what's going to happen. A, they're going to beat Dallas Friday. That's doable.
Okay.
Right? They're going to beat Dallas. People will feel a little bit better there.
Yes.
B, Zach Edey's going to be back very soon, and all of a sudden the team's going to start looking like it should look. Jalen Wells is not going to shoot like this forever. Cedric Howard's going to be moved into the starting lineup, and they will not be anything close to an elite team, but they will look like they are supposed to look.
Functional.
They will be a functional team. Ja will throw down dunks. It will be fun. Zach Edey will get more credit, honestly, now that people will appreciate him more than they did last year when it felt like he was underappreciated, because we'll see the difference. Oh, all we needed was Zach. And then Ty Jerome's going to come back, and all of a sudden you're going to have another ball
handler.
And
he's not going to blow out his Achilles.
And you're going to get the space that they're lacking so badly right now. Suddenly there will be space, and they will look like a functional basketball team. And they may even elevate themselves so they're in the playing range. And this was going to, we're going to look back at this and it's going to be a blip.
It all starts Friday.
It all starts Friday, but it really starts with Zach Edey's return.
Yep.
It's going to just look very different upon his return. And then Ty Jerome's going to come back. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I get what the plan is. How foolish of us it was to try to judge everything when they didn't have their players. So that's one. Okay. Two. Tony Allen's going to get a really good lawyer, and it was his friend's cocaine, and the whole thing is a big misunderstanding.
Yep, there you go.
Three, Memphis Tiger football, honestly, they're going to roll over Tulane. Tulane's not that good.
Tulane can't stop the run.
Tulane cannot stop the run, and this team is built.
What do the Tigers want to do?
This team is not just built to run, they're born to run.
Yes.
This team is born to run. And they are going to run all over Tulane, and it's going to be fun. And all of a sudden, next week, you're not just going to see Memphis in the – you're going to start seeing Memphis in the actual top 25. That's one of the important things Jason Smith pointed out. Now ESPN over at their rankings, the little numbers that they use, top 25, they're the playoff rankings. So you could before look at the top 25, and you would have seen Memphis in there. Now you no longer do. But if they keep winning, you're going to see that. They're going to be on the road to the playoff. This whole thing's going to pick up steam in a way that we haven't seen in, you know, since the last day of Mike Norvell. And they're going to – and then as for Memphis basketball, what we know about Penny is that he figures it out. What we know about Penny – what we saw last year is, like, lots of people were concerned last year, whatever else. They're going to figure it out. They're not going to have the tour de force of a – non-conference schedule like they had last year. They're not going to beat Purdue. They beat UConn. They're not going to beat Purdue, right?
I feel pretty good about that.
But they're going to be perfectly respectable, and then they're going to roll through the conference because they're much better than everybody else. And by the time the NCAA tournament rolls around, we're going to know who these dudes are. We're going to, you know, And it'll be yet another year where Penny gets this team into the tournament, and this time they're going to win a game.
Love it. Sign me up.
What do you think?
I don't know if we can bet on all those things happening, but like, I don't think that it's entirely insane.
And somewhere along the way, YouTube TV is going to come to an agreement. I was reading about this, and I hate to say this because I'm someone who last week did not scramble. I missed some college football. I'll just be honest with you. I missed some college football this weekend because I have YouTube TV. And I didn't go scramble to find some temporary home, right? I'm like, they'll work it out. The more I read about this, the more it appears like the government shutdown. At least the piece that I was reading in Athletic today pointed out that for neither of these players is this big a deal.
Yes.
YouTube TV is owned by, and this is going to come as a shock to you, YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Who's owned by? Google.
And YouTube is massive. And Google is more massive. The amount of money that they have in YouTube TV is nothing. It's proverbial spit in the ocean. Yeah, sure, they would like to get this figured out, but they're not sitting there worrying every day about how they're going to pay their bills. It's just not that big a deal. And I'm told the same thing. I mean, I read the same thing is true of ESPN, although the theory that ESPN is trying to force people to their app, what's his name over? Andrew
Marchand.
He does not. He is not a believer in that is what is happening.
I think they're worried about the pricing.
He thinks neither one is that motivated to settle this, right?
Yes. I do not buy into the whole this is just designed to get you to subscribe to the
app, yeah.
And whatnot. I think they know YouTube is going to be a massive playing partner for a long time. And it just seems like, to me, it's like they're negotiating a price and no one's willing to budge.
Well, and it feels like it's going to be another. What percentage of our listeners have YouTube TV? It feels like it's pretty. Like, I've seen so many people complaining.
Yeah, I think the problem, though, is the people that are online are the people that are complaining. And so, like, that's kind of a. That's the core audience.
And we come around to this. Now people are just. Everyone used to bemoan cable.
Yep.
And now you were ahead of the curve here.
Always.
You're like, we're going to miss
cable. I'm a professional television watcher.
Just give us, if we only had cable the way it used to be,
yes.
The world was so much better.
Yes. Because initially, what happened was, initially, all of these streaming devices were trying to just penetrate the market. And so, yes, there was a time where it was very beneficial to the consumer because profit didn't matter. But I knew eventually they were all going to have to run like businesses, and that model that they had didn't make sense. YouTube TV started for $35 a month. It's now like $85 a month. Like, it's only going to keep going up and up and up.
So there was a little glorious period.
Correct.
When they were flooding us and just trying to get us to
Correct.
Sign up.
And everyone was trying to win, like, be the first to market and therefore have.
It's like a lot of like these betting apps, too.
Yes.
Remember the betting apps used
yep.
to give you $1,000 free to bet, whatever, cost free.
100% same motivation.
All that stuff.
Yes.
They don't do that anymore.
We just saw today Penn and ESPN ended their. I mean, it wasn't like shocking news. This was probably where this was headed, but Penn and ESPN ended ESPN Bet.
All right, Chris Harrington coming up next. He was at the game last night, wrote about it. We'll talk to him. Then, here's some good news. We're going to play Writer Than Write Trivia. What are we giving away as our fabulous prize, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we got two pairs of tickets to go see Stavros Halkias tonight. It's at Graceland Live. Stavi tonight at Graceland Live. Again, you'll get four total tickets. I can't promise that all four are together, but I can promise you two and two.
All right. Before then, I will tell you that if you are feeling poorly, listen, we're coming up to cold and flu season. We are coming up to cold and flu season, and Pro Health is there for you. See, Steph Curry missed a game because he had a cold.
I don't know how everyone else is feeling out there, but I'm waking up with a lot of sore throats.
Over at Pro Health, they have the Immunity IV drip. Listen, if you got kids in school, you're in and out of an office, ProHealth's Immunity IV, loaded with vitamin C, zinc, other immune-boosting nutrients. It's better than chugging Emergen-C. They got that to offer you. They've got sick visits. Quick and easy. Flu, sinus infection, strep, whatever it is. don't like waste all day in a waiting room. Certainly don't head to the overcrowded ER. ProHealth can get you in and out fast. Most visits take under 30 minutes. You walk in, you get your treat, get treated, get what you need, and get back to your life. It is cold and flu season is coming upon us. Do not let yourself get sidelined the way Steph Curry was. They've got offices in Germantown, Collierville, Bartlett, Arlington, and two in East Memphis. To learn more, go to ProHealthMemphis.com. Chris Harrington has entered the studio. We'll talk to him when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.